over here, and then I'm gonna hit go over here. Here we go. Okay, we're going live. Holy cow, we're going live, everybody. We're gonna do it live.
This is Monty in the Morning, the show Phoenix Magazine readers voted number one talk radio show in Arizona.
Number one during your morning commute.
Number one whenever news breaks during your day.
And number one whenever and wherever you want to talk sports.
Now it's time for Monty in the Morning.
Hey, yo. How are you? Happy Monday, February 8th, 2021. This is the Monty Show live on YouTube. If you're listening on the audio podcast, make sure you go to themontyshow.com. themontyshow.com. And you hit that subscribe button. Give us a thumbs up for likes. We appreciate you following the show. Avi, we're going to talk about some Super Bowl.
Duh,
but wait. Coming up in like 15 minutes, the greatest meltdown ever. Not really. I've had bigger meltdowns than that. Oh, Monty versus Google was epic yesterday. So we will get into that. But without further ado, obviously, the Super Bowl is what is front and center on everybody's mind. Hell of a performance, hello, by Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Jake, I believe that it was me who sat on this very show and predicted this exact score and outcome of the game. Your
thoughts? You didn't predict 31-9. Nobody did. Nobody saw that coming. But I don't remember. Did you actually pick the Bucks?
I did pick the Bucks, and I did not pick 31-9. I picked 37-31. Bucks. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this game kind of went pretty much to plan. We had talked about how dominant we felt like that Bucks defense would be. The shocking thing is Patrick Mahomes was just not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because he was under fire all night long. And this tells you the importance of offensive lines in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, you know, the amount of pressure that the defense was able to get on Patrick Mahomes just made the entire game for him miserable. I mean, he was on the ground a lot. When he was running, his running capability was maybe 50% of what it usually is because of the turf toe. And so that meant that they were getting to him more. And I think when you look at the way the secondary played defense, you combine the fact that they pretty much had two safeties high the whole game, making sure that Tyreek wasn't going to beat him deep. And then you've got really physical linebacker play on Travis Kelce. That's a recipe for, hey, we're going to shut you down. And you know, I don't know if the Bucks have figured out the blueprint to stopping the Chiefs, but that was pretty impressive to keep the Chiefs under 10 points. I don't think the Chiefs scored a touchdown the whole game. I think they kicked three field goals. Like, that's a dominant performance and an impressive one at that. And it just leads me to say that now we can definitively say that Tom Brady can win anywhere he goes. And I think that's a really special thing that we don't get to see a lot in sports.
Yeah, and I also think he deserves a lot of credit, because beyond the fact that he played really well, beyond the fact that Tom Brady did this his way, Tom Brady left New England and took a lot of heat for that. And I think one of the things that comes to mind is my admiration level for a guy like Tom Brady, a lot of it has to do with the fact that he took a chance and bet on himself. He took a chance and said, I'm going to go to Tampa. I'm going to leave the comfortable confines of Gillette Stadium and Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, and I'm going to go and do it the way that I want to do it. And I think he deserves a hell of a lot of credit for that, because that's not easy. I think that's scary. But Tom Brady bet on himself because he believes in himself. And he's now got 7 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
7.
Yeah.
And 5 of the 7 rings, he is the MVP, as he was last night. I mean, I think that to me is what's most impressive, is the mental acuity, the mental game, the mental toughness of Tom Brady. I think that's what separates him. And we're going to hear talking about 60 seconds about the greatest athlete ever. But I don't think there's any question now that Joe Montana is a distant second to Tom Brady when it comes to quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know, when I think about the greatest athletes, the greatest quarterbacks, like what kind of what goes into that? You know, the couple of things that really come to my mind are obviously, yes, how many championships do you have? How many rings do you have on your hand? Do you have enough for two hands? You know, how much did you win? I mean, that is one of the most prominent criteria for being one of the greatest athletes of all time. But then I also think there's a secondary tier of criteria where it's like, hey, were you either able to take a break from your sport and come back? Were you able to go to a new team and still win? Were you able to leave the situation in your career where you won your first, you know, one through maybe three or four championships or whatever the case may be? Were you able to leave that situation, go to another situation, and still dominate the sport? Because that is a true sign of, hey, you're just on another level. When I look at guys like, obviously, Brady now, when I look at LeBron, when I look at Michael, when I look at, you know, whoever you want to point to, these guys have all been able to either take a break or go to a new place or whatever the case may be and dominate their sport. And I think when Tom Brady is compared to those guys, he's right up there, if not the best ever, not just in the NFL. Like, I'm talking about best athlete ever. He has to be in that conversation now.
Yeah, I think it's hard to keep him out of that. I mean, I don't even know who's a close second. I think when I think about the greatest athletes ever, I obviously Jordan's in that. I mean, hell, he's on the wall right here for a reason, right? I mean, he's got six rings. If he never goes into retirement or gambling suspension, whatever it might have been, does he win 8, 9 rings? Maybe, but he didn't. And now Tom Brady's got 7. He certainly is the greatest athlete in the modern era. But I guess here's the other question I would ask for you, because nothing happened before 1993 for you. What about guys like Bill Russell and Yogi Berra? Bill Russell's got 11 NBA rings. Yogi Berra's got 10 World Series rings. But that was back in the 1800s. Does that count?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. But I think if we're talking greatest ever, yeah, I think it should count. I think Bill Russell having 11 is unbelievable. I've never watched. I'll be honest, I've never watched a game of basketball in which Bill Russell has played. Never seen it. Never, like, it just was before I was alive. And so when I just look at the raw numbers, yeah, he should be there, man. Like, he should not be penalized because he played back then, and we're talking about athletes now. You know, that's not fair. He could only play when he could play. And he dominated his sport. And so then I look at someone like Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra, you know, is one of the best Yankees of all time. I'm not going to say he transcended baseball, but certainly he was one of the biggest names baseball had for a long time. I mean, he was on that level. So, yeah, I think it should count. But, like, I still maintain that Tom Brady is the best. And I think the real separating factor here, and the thing that really goes against people like Bill Russell and Yogi Berra and the folks, the old timers, is the athleticism, the technology and how folks train nowadays, the medical staffing, like the ability to keep the body playing for a longer amount of time at a higher level. See LeBron James at 38 or whatever he is now. The evolution of that part of sports is making it so that when Tom Brady wins 7, it's even more impressive than when those guys won 11.
Yeah, and I just think it goes so far. His age and the lack of serious injuries. He's had one major injury. It was a knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
He has recovered from that. It is remarkable what he's been able to do with his body at his age. I mean, you play into your early 40s, and he clearly said last night he's coming back. You play into your early 40s, and I think it is remarkable to watch what he's doing. The fact that he is able to please Gisele Bundchen on a nightly basis and still play at this level in the NFL. What? I mean, can you? Anyway, the point is, maybe now she needs to please him. I have no idea, but the point is, it's quite challenging. And my question again is, like, how do you beat this? How, if you are Tom Brady, do you go beyond this greatness? Because I don't know what else he has left to do. He's not getting to 10.
Right.
Right? I mean, obviously, they're one of the favorites for him to win his 8th.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's so difficult. The dominance of the Kansas City Chiefs last year compared to how badly they got swooped last night. That tells you how quickly teams go downhill. But Tom Brady's teams have very rarely, if ever, fallen off like that. Mm-hmm. This defense is young. They're really fast. They're well coached. That whole coaching staff is coming back. I mean, there's no reason to believe that the Patriots won't be back.
And I think an interesting...
Or I said the Patriots.
You said the Patriots.
The Bucs won't be back.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of these... This matchup is going to continue to be a conversation, and I think it's awesome for the league. You know, Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes, I think it's... Honestly, like, I think it's one of the best matchups we could possibly ask for in the Super Bowl. I think what's interesting is this is now the second time that Patrick Mahomes has gotten his ass handed to him in a significant game by Tom Brady.
Oof.
You know, I look at the AFC Championship game, and that was at Arrowhead, and he beat you.
Yeah.
And then I look at this game, and he beat you. He outplayed you. Now, we can have a conversation about the offensive line. We can have a conversation about, you know, what Patrick Mahomes had to work with heading into this game. But the fact of the matter is, and I know Chiefs fans are going to hate this, you were on the field. You were playing the game. So there's no excuses. He outplayed you. And it just is what it is. And so now I look ahead to next year and I say, okay, well, let's just say it's an even playing field. Both teams are at full strength. Okay, we're probably having a different conversation. This is probably a much more high-scoring game. If Patrick Mahomes had the kind of time that Tom Brady had last night, because that was really the difference. I mean, you look at Tom Brady last night, he had acres of space in the pocket to just stand around and throw the football. He was never really pressured. Like, they didn't get to him.
I think the scheme that we saw the Bucs deploy was incredible. I mean, the linebackers consistently dropping in the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I think we talked about the fact that you had to always double Tyreek Hill. They did that. I think you saw the speed of Shaq Barrett, who we talked about on the show Friday as
making
a key
plays.
Contributor. Yeah, we told you he was going to have to be a key contributor if the Bucs were going to win. He was. And just the physical pounding that Tampa Bay put on Patrick Mahomes is something that we have not seen over his career. And so when I look at why they are good, I don't necessarily believe that Tom Brady is the reason that the Tampa Bay Bucs are in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are balanced on both sides of the football. I think we saw Antonio Brown make a huge catch, Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans. I mean, all of these receivers we talked about Friday, all of them contributed. The offensive line dominated. Ndamukong Suh dominated. Shaq Barrett dominated. Tom Brady dominated.
Yeah.
And that, in my opinion, is why they won. To look at Tyrann Mathieu, who I know is an emotional player, I totally get that, melting down late in the first half in frustration is remarkable. To see Winfield giving the peace sign to Tyreek Hill late
in
the game.
That. I loved it.
Well, I just think that this team knows they're good.
Yep.
And that really helps you keep guys together. You're going to have some attrition. You always do off of Super Bowl rosters. But there is no reason to believe that Tom Brady doesn't have an excellent chance to win 8 mm-hmm. Super Bowl championships.
Yeah, I mean, what he's doing now is he is essentially trying to set records that will never be broken. It might have been Friday. It might have been earlier in the week last week. But we specifically talked about the fact that, you know, if Patrick Mahomes won this game, he'd have a chance to get to 7 or 6. It'd be 6, obviously.
Yeah.
Because Tom Brady wouldn't have won 7. But now that he's lost that, you're talking about 7-1 now. And I think that Patrick Mahomes, while he's still young and he's got a lot of years left, every time that you play a season and don't win and Tom Brady wins, you're going the wrong direction. And you can't tell me that Patrick Mahomes isn't thinking about that. I mean, that's got to be on his mind. Of like, hey, I understand that I have an opportunity to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time that this game's ever seen. He's not there yet. He's still got a lot of winning to do. Still got a lot of records and accomplishments and things that he's got to, you know, check off. But at the end of the day, 15 years from now when he's done in the league, I would like to think that he's a 5 or 6-time Super Bowl champion. And the problem with that is it's not going to be good enough because Brady's likely going to have 8.
Yeah, it is really – I don't see anybody ever winning 7 Super Bowl championships in the history of the NFL again. I think it is such a physical sport. And the Alex Smith-type injuries are more and more common.
Yeah.
If you look at Dak Prescott, if you look at Alex Smith, I look at a guy like Russell Wilson – I mean, they were, the Seahawks were as dominant as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell Wilson's not winning 7 rings.
Right.
I look at a guy like Justin Herbert. You play for the San Diego, now LA Chargers. You're not going to win a ring in all likelihood because of your ownership. I look at Dak Prescott. Like, I just look at the candidates. Deshaun Watson's not winning 7.
Right.
Like, who's the best young quarterback in the NFL?
Joe Burrow.
It's probably Joe Burrow. Already a major injury.
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst organizations in football. I don't give him a chance to win 1 ring until he leaves there, let alone 7.
Yeah.
Again, the best young quarterbacks are Herbert, Watson, you know, Mitch Trubisky.
Mm.
Wait, I'm kidding. The point is, I don't see any of those guys winning Super Bowls.
So basically what we're saying is there's not another guy in the league today that's capable.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Josh Allen in Buffalo, I mean, I feel like now Tom Brady won it right out of the gate. He won it. You have to win early to have any chance.
Yeah.
And it's already no longer early for Josh Allen. It's not early anymore. Justin Herbert's the one guy who's good enough and young enough to do it, but he plays for the Chargers.
Yeah.
So there's no way that's going to happen. I'm curious as to what happens in San Francisco.
Aaron Rodgers really should be the guy who's chasing Tom Brady.
But again, we've had this conversation.
I know, but I'm saying I'm not, and I don't mean to bring Aaron up to like go on a ripping Aaron Rodgers thing. But like, if we're talking about the candidates who are skilled enough, who are in a position with an organization, who really theoretically, you know, should be able to at least humor the idea of chasing Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers really should be there. A guy like Drew Brees should have been there, but he's not. You know, Peyton Manning, I mean, he's the guy who really should have, but the problem with that is Tom Brady was too busy kicking his ass too. So that's the issue. Nobody is going to be able to chase Tom Brady until Tom is out of the league and not going to the Super Bowl every year. And so it begs the question, is someone like Trevor Lawrence going to be able to do it?
Well, let's see where Trevor goes. I mean, if Trevor winds up with the Jets, hell no.
Yeah.
He's not winning 7 rings with the Jets, with all due respect to Gary Vee.
Yeah.
If he ends up in Jacksonville, I don't know. What is Urban Meyer in Jacksonville? Well, I can tell you he's not going to stay there for a decade. You know that about Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
So that's not going to happen. If you're not in the NFL right now,
mm-hmm.
Here's what I'll say. If you're in the NFL right now, you have no chance to win 7 rings. If you're not in the NFL right now, you have no chance to win 7 rings. I just don't think it's possible. I mean, there's going to be dominant quarterbacks. I mean, there always is. But I can't think of a guy in the NFL right now. Patrick Mahomes does. It's over. He has no chance to win 7 rings now.
Maybe. I mean, how old is – I don't know how old he is. Is he
26?
Is he 20? He's past 25? Okay. Well, if he's past 25, that's going to make it more difficult. But I think, I don't know.
He is 25 years old.
He's 25 right now.
He'll be 26 on September 17th.
Okay, so he's going to be 26 before the next NFL season starts. So here's what that would look like, though, for him to chase. Let's call it 8, just to be aggressive, right? Like, let's call it 8 just to assume that Brady wins 1 more before he's done. So he's got to win at least 7 more rings. And he's going to have to play till 40 to make it happen.
Me?
That's another 15 years.
He's already limping around.
So he's got to win 7 rings in 15 years, which means he's probably got to go to 12 Super Bowls in 15 years.
No chance.
Come on, dude.
Bro.
Brady's been to 10 Super Bowls and won 7 of them.
That's not happening.
I mean, that's why it's so difficult because again, Mahomes is probably the only guy who's in a position to do it. You know,
By the way,
is Tom Brady, and I think this is a fascinating question, especially from Tom Brady's perspective as a player, is Tom Brady going to lose a Super Bowl before he retires? Is he going to get knocked out of the postseason? Is he going to lose essentially before he retires?
Next year has to be it. I mean, again, this is something I've always said, you know, and I say it every day, hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel. But I also say every day, it is a job to please Gisele Bündchen.
Mm-hmm.
It is a job to raise 16 kids. It is a job to be like, being Tom Brady is not easy. And mm-hmm. I think This is, and I'm being really serious about this. This is what makes LeBron's sustained, excellence so amazing. What made Jordan's, look at the Jordan documentary.
Mm-hmm.
What did we learn about Michael Jordan? He lived alone, man. Like, he lived alone. It is really difficult to be that good, that long, and have a life.
Yep.
It is almost impossible. I look at what Tom Brady must go through on a daily basis. The guy cannot leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, like, when he vacations, it's in private.
Well, imagine how much more difficult it is now with the pandemic.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess. I mean, I just, without the pandemic, he couldn't leave the house. You know, like, it is difficult to be Tom. There are always business phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
There are always endorsement deals. There are always this guy and that guy. And then there's hangers-on. And then there's your kids, and then there's your wife, and then there's your agent, and then
But you can't tell me that.
And then there's,
yeah, but like,
and
you,
then there's,
dude, come on, you can't tell me that he doesn't have processes in place. I mean, there's got to be ways for him to. He's got people who handle all that stuff.
But
for
that
him.
on its own, having a process in place to deal with all of the stuff that comes with being a really successful entrepreneur. A really successful athlete,
mm-hmm.
a really successful husband, father, brother, and son.
Mm.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Right? That is like just insulating your kids from the day-to-day bullshit of being Tom Brady's kid
mm-hmm.
is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, if you think about that, it is just a lot of work.
I guess, dude, it doesn't get easier when you retire. I mean,
does, because now you're not worried about practice and game plans and video.
But that's the stuff that he loves to do. That's the stuff he enjoys.
Yeah, and I'm assuming football is he's always said football is an escape from everything else.
Yeah, I like football. I like football season and all the things that go with it.
I mean, yeah. Was that Tom Brady? I think it was.
No, that was Bill Belichick.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
I know it was Bill Belichick. The point is, guys like Tom Brady are machines, but at what point, and this is where I'm going, at what point does Giselle say enough is enough? Because
Who's
running Tom Brady Inc.?
Mm-hmm.
Giselle Bundchen,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, she's the one carrying the parenting load. She, and I get it. We see videos of Tom mouth kissing his kids all the time.
But
I get
come
it.
Come on.
I said mouth kissing his. You're just gonna let that go?
Yeah, I'm gonna gloss over that because you know
that hurts.
Yeah, listen. Giselle is in no position to complain. I mean, number one, she's had a wonderful career in the things that she does, and she's made an ass load of money, more money than Tom's made.
Still does.
So, like, the idea that Giselle would be frustrated or in a place where she's like, Tom, you need to stop playing is crazy to me. If she you could make a case, I guess, to say, I don't want you to sustain a serious injury or a brain injury or whatever.
Well,
okay.
She's talked about that. She's talked about the fact that he has had multiple severe concussions.
Mm-hmm.
And at what point, I get it. This ain't about the money, right? Nope. This is not about the money. This is no longer about being the best at something because you've been the best for several years.
It's about the fact that he loves to play football. That's it.
But Yeah, I'm not. Who are we to tell him how to live his life?
No, but I'm just saying.
But your brain is going to wind up in a jug.
Right. But he understands that. But this is honestly what I think he's saying to himself. This is my opinion on this. Like, he's saying to himself, "Hey, like, I've made so much money, and Giselle's made so much money that our kids and our family and everybody in our close, tight knit circle is taken care of.
Yeah,
we don't have to worry about that." But like, I think for Tom. And this is an athlete issue. You ask any major athlete, they will say this. Hey, that is what they love to do. It's their thing. It's not like they go to the office and sit at a computer all day and they're happy to leave. They don't want to leave. They missed the locker room. So it's hard to just walk away.
It is. And I think what's interesting is Teddy says, who are we to judge Tom Brady? It's his life. He can write his own ticket, so let him. So few people have that opportunity.
And I agree with that. But
I think
for conversation's sake, you do have to wonder what is Giselle's ultimatum to him? How long will she be okay with him playing and everything? You know? And by the way, it should also be said that because he's playing so long, I got to think for Tom, there's also this question of how much of his kid's childhood or his kid's, you know, does he feel like he's missing?
Yeah. Williams says, aren't we supposed to prioritize family and our children? You can't tell me Tom does that when he's playing year 38 in the NFL. Well, I mean, but again, I think we're being judgmental. How do we know that Tom Brady doesn't prioritize his kids?
Yeah, I think it's a little, you know, you're going too fast there to say he doesn't prioritize his
kids. Well, and I think he is, there's no question he's a doting father.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the, in all seriousness, if you look at the Facebook show they did, if you look at all of the photos you always see, it's never just him.
Just look at after the Packer game. After they beat the Packers, his kids were there. His family was there. He was on the field, and he walked over to the sideline. I don't know exactly where on the field he was, but basically he asked the security to bring his kid down.
Yeah.
And they had a moment. So I don't think he's somehow like, he's definitely not trading parenting to play football. Is he there as much as a stay-at-home dad would be? Well, no, of course not. But he's also making whatever the hell he's made in his NFL career, hundreds of millions of dollars, just in the NFL money. Don't even talk about the endorsement money. You know, just in NFL money, he's made hundreds of millions of dollars. So, you know, I just disagree. I don't think he's trading parenting for his NFL career. I don't think that he would continue playing in the NFL if somehow his at-home life was struggling. That's what I would say.
Well, and money is not. Gisele Bundchen earns, on average, according to the interwebs, about $30 million a year. Brady won a $500,000 bonus, which is incredible for winning the Super Bowl. But if you look at Tom Brady's career earnings, money ain't never going to be an issue, man.
And by the way,
I mean, holy cow.
From a NFL legacy career perspective, Tom Brady and his family certainly have a healthy respect, and they understand the fact that he is in a position that almost nobody in professional athletics and the NFL have been in. I mean, that's the thing. That's why yes, the money is there. His family is there. The conversation about him being a good dad is there. But at the same time, are we really going to sit here and be the people who say to Tom Brady, hey, you need to retire because you got to go be a better parent?
He's made $263,541,000.
Just as a football player.
$29 million dollars this year.
That's not like
that's
anything.
Just football money.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that's what I'm saying, dude. This has nothing to do about money or parenting or any of that. The guy wants to be heralded as the best to ever do it. And he's, in my opinion, he's there. But
by the way, they paid $17 million in cash for their house in Florida.
Yep.
I said
Dropping a bucket, bro.
Will I ever make $17 million in my life? I hope so, but they paid $17 million for a house.
Yeah.
The cash, man. Mm-hmm. Anyway, real quick, the list of greatest athletes ever. I think it's Jordan, and I think it's Brady, but I do think LeBron is there. Mm-hmm. And I think now that he won that championship with the Lakers, I think there was Tony Jones, the great athletic. He's not an athlete. He writes for The Athletic, but he is an athlete because he runs and plays. Anyway, Tony Jones of The Athletic was having a great Twitter debate last night with somebody talking about how LeBron James doesn't have playoff success. And I just want to say, if you think LeBron James hasn't had playoff success, I don't know who you think LeBron James is, but he's not the guy that I associate with a basketball player. The guy's had incredible success. Just to be in the finals that many years in a row, come on. I don't think there's another quarterback that measures up. There was also some people on Twitter last night talking about Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. That's not even a conversation. With all due respect, it's not even a conversation. Mm. I think Tom Brady is the greatest athlete ever. You stupidly asked me if motorsports compares.
It should compare.
No, it doesn't.
It should compare. Absolutely.
Listen. I know you're a huge Lewis Hamilton fan. Mm-hmm. But you understand that, I mean, the physical toll that playing football and winning 7 championships and 5 Super Bowl MVPs, it's not – and I love Jimmy Johnson. It's not even in the conversation.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, sure. Okay. I mean, if you want to say that racing is not physical, fine. But I think it's – mentally, it's even more difficult to win in racing than it is in on a football field or otherwise.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about – I mean, you have to worry about death, but so do football players.
You know, just dying in a car 200 miles an hour, but who cares?
Hey, I get it. I totally get it. Make sure you hit subscribe on the good old YouTube channel there. Find our audio podcast. Find our YouTube channel. Find it all. Just Google search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. We got that SEO thing down pretty well. Mm-hmm. Man, you search The Monty Show anywhere, you're going to find us. But find us on YouTube. Really appreciate your subscribing because it does help grow the channel. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Couple other NFL notes that I want to clean up. Aaron Rodgers has a new piece of ass. Mm-hmm. He's currently engaged, apparently.
Yeah, he's engaged to Shailene Woodley, the star from the Divergent series.
We've had this conversation.
Apparently. Yeah. They've been a low key couple, apparently. Like apparently this has been going on for a while under the radar. And so I don't know, man. Apparently they're engaged and everything's great and Aaron's family doesn't hate him anymore. Oh wait, that's not true. They do hate him. Yeah, they do.
Thank you. Yeah. I hate Aaron Rodgers. I think he's just a terrible person. Mm-hmm. How are you already engaged when you just dumped Danica Patrick like a week ago, wasn't it? No, it was a couple months ago. But
same thing.
Yeah, I mean,
come on.
Look, this has nothing to do with Shailene Woodley because she is.
I want it.
My God. And I give him credit. I mean, Olivia Munn. Oh, man.
That's pretty much self-explanatory.
Right? Danica Patrick, I'm good, man. I'm good. But Shailene Woodley is nice. Mm. Nice. Mm-hmm. But this is the same thing I say about Lindsey Vonn. Okay?
Here we go.
Just asking for a friend. Why would you date Lindsey Vonn at this point?
You wouldn't.
Why would you date Aaron Rodgers at this point?
You wouldn't.
He runs through chicks like... I mean, he runs through chicks like most of us change our underwear.
It's actually not that easy, but for me it was easy.
You know, I mean, he literally can date any, clearly.
Yep.
He can think of a woman and they can wind up dating.
Yep.
Okay? But why, if you're a woman, if you are Shailene Woodley, just smoking hot, successful actress, why would you date Aaron Rodgers? He's eventually going to dump you.
Kick in the balls you'll ever get.
He's going to discard you like a Taco Bell wrapper, right? I mean, you're out. That's coming, right? I mean, you don't look. And with I've never defended Aaron Rodgers in the past. Obviously, Danica Patrick was just a step left instead of walking ahead, right? Because you don't go from Olivia Munn, who's got hips, pumps, and a bump like she is unbelievable, to Danica Patrick. She weighs 64 pounds. Like
Well, she drives a race car, so she's not really an athlete anyway.
No, she drove a race car.
Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm.
She doesn't anymore. She's a yoga freak now.
Yoga freak.
Yeah, Shailene Woodley is, I mean,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
But if you are a successful actress in Hollywood, why are you dating Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know.
You know, if you are a successful male athlete who's usually black, why would you date Lindsey Vonn? Because she just runs through athletes.
Yeah.
And we all have types, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are Aaron Rodgers, you're a famous Hollywood starlet.
Mm-hmm.
That's his type.
Yeah.
Right? I just don't understand. Tiger Woods, same thing. If you're Lindsey Vonn, why are you dating Tiger Woods? This is what I've never understood about famous people and the fleas that they wind up with. It slays me.
You see, you're a guy of simple taste.
Yeah. I just want people who... Anyway. You cannot date below yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Who's below who there? Aaron Rodgers is below Woodley or Woodley is below Aaron Rodgers? Oh,
I mean, on paper, it's probably Woodley's below Aaron Rodgers, but knowing Aaron Rodgers...
Just saying.
I mean, knowing... okay, so we don't know Aaron Rodgers as a dude, but based off what's happened, based off the family thing, based off of all that, basically everything that's happened off the field with Aaron Rodgers, I think it's safe to say, and it's a pretty realistic conclusion, that Aaron Rodgers is a bit of a drama queen and does like to cause issues.
A bit of a drama queen?
Okay,
so drama with Brett Favre, drama with Fathead McCarthy, drama with teenage boy Danica Patrick.
Bro, you're such right? a hater on Danica.
Danica Patrick's hot.
She's okay.
Oh, stop.
She's not bad.
Stop it. So,
She
should be dating Lance Armstrong.
Oh, stop.
Right?
Don't hate.
They're both endurance athletes now. And okay, cool. She is not. Danica Patrick, I'm sorry, dude. Danica Patrick is not for everybody.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that she's, you know, going to win any awards for being the hottest, you know, athlete ever. But
nobody's saying no to Olivia Munn.
Okay,
nobody.
I agree with that. Yes,
nobody
I agree with that.
Body.
I agree.
Is yes. saying no to Olivia Munn.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, just checking.
Okay. Okay.
What?
Okay.
Should we move on to? I'm trying not to talk about Carson Wentz. I'm like trying really hard not to bring up Carson Wentz. The Eagles are going to trade Carson Wentz. Why does it have to be to the Bears, who are going to give up a first round pick to get him?
What's worse? Wait, hold on. What's worse? In terms of Chicago sports, what's worse? The Cubs trading their entire organization?
Okay, now you're just being a dick.
Or the Bears going after a guy who's never going to be actually on the field that they're going to spend like $40 million on? I mean, what's worse? Because this season for the Cubs is going to be one of the most frustrating seasons that we get to watch. Even worse than the Yu Darvish season, right? And now we're going to get a team in the Bears who are going to give up a first-round pick and some players to get a guy. I'm serious. A guy in Carson Wentz who has wonderful talent but is never on the field.
Why?
Because it's true.
Okay, A, it's all true, and that's why you shouldn't bring it up. B, the Cubs are going to be awful this year. And C, Carson Wentz inevitably will be a Chicago Bear. And then we as Chicago Bears fans, I say we because it really is me. I'm the only one left. Me as a Chicago Bears fan will get to choose between Mitch Trubisky and Carson Wentz.
I'll try to stay calm and not curse.
That's not true. Carson Wentz is a good, not great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz is injury prone. Carson Wentz is a guy that somehow wound up on the outside looking in Philly. And so, of course, as a trash quarterback, he'll wind up with the Bears, who, in all irony, will trade Nick Foles, one of the worst contracts in the history of the National Football League, Nick Foles. They will trade him back to Philadelphia, where he's living on one play. One play and one play alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Nick Foles is living on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you now that Carson Wentz will, in my opinion, he probably never plays more than 13, 14 games ever.
I agree.
Like
Completely
the guy,
agree.
He cannot stay healthy, and your best ability is your availability.
Who's a better head coach, Doug Peterson or Matt Nagy?
Your mom.
Exactly.
Doug Peterson, because he's got a Super Bowl. Matt Nagy's not a guy I want to develop a quarterback anymore.
And
like, I've lost complete faith in him.
And so that's what I'm saying. Like, when they go and get, because, I mean, how far down the road are they? I mean, is it pretty much?
Oh, I think it's going to happen in the next 2 days.
Okay, so they're going to go and get Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is going to roll out as a Chicago Bear. And admittedly, early on in his career as a Chicago Bear,
man,
that'll be exciting. But inevitably, what's going to happen is he will get hurt because he is not able to take the pounding a guy like Mitch Trubisky is able to take, because that is one of the best things about Mitchell Trubisky. He is pretty durable, in my opinion.
Had a couple of injuries.
Couple of injuries, but overall, for how crappy that offensive line is and for not really having a running back to speak of and for having an awful offensive scheme.
Well, and by the way, you know what the trade package is. It's Nick Foles, Tarik Cohen, and a first-round pick. So, Cohen coming off of a major knee injury.
Yeah.
Nick Foles, who was never nothing but anything that was never nothing.
I mean, it's not like you're giving him some gold mine for Carson Wentz, but
But you're giving him a first-round pick.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably a bigger discussion, but at the end of the day, bad NFL organizations make bad decisions, and this is a bad decision by a historically mediocre team.
But wait, you're willing to give up one first-round pick for Carson Wentz. Are you telling me you wouldn't give up two to get Deshaun Watson? By the way, the Texans say they're not trading, though.
That's a different conversation. Deshaun Watson is a durable as hell quarterback who clearly could come in and make a huge difference for you right away. Like, right away. So, yeah, if it was Deshaun, yeah, two first-round picks and a player is probably what I'd be willing to give up. But, yeah, I mean, and we probably don't have time to get into the whole Deshaun thing here, but, like, the idea to me that the Texans are saying, well, you know, Deshaun's got four more years left. We're not trading him. He's not available. We're not having those conversations. Okay, well, I guess we're just not going to watch Deshaun Watson play football this year. Because you can't tell me that the dude's going to suit up for this team after what they did in the offseason. I just don't buy that.
You cannot hang on to him past the draft. If Deshaun Watson's a Houston Texan after the NFL draft is complete, he is going to wind up sitting this season, mm-hmm. or a good part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I he has very, very little value once the draft comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you trade for him right as the season kicks off, you have no time to build him into your system and prepare for him. So that's why you don't see huge quarterback trades after the draft. Generally, those things just don't happen,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think it is you are going to see in the next 2 months – big, big quarterbacks trading hands.
Yeah.
I think if you are the New York Jets, I think you're going to trade Sam Darnold. I think you're going to wind up trying to get a veteran quarterback to plug into that system.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you are the Jacksonville Jaguars, I would guess with Urban Meyer, you know he's not going to be there a decade. I would guess they're going to draft Trevor Lawrence. I would guess. But who knows?
Yeah.
The Jags would be a prime landing spot for Deshaun Watson. The Jags would be a great landing spot for Sam Darnold.
I would agree.
Right? Like, I mean, Sam Darnold is a guy that I actually think can be a quarterback in this league. He can be a player at the NFL level, but you're never going to be a player when you're the quarterback of the Jets.
Yeah.
At least not right now. And all of that may change with Robert Saleh as their head coach. Their fortunes may drastically change. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, Darnold needs a change of scenery. And if you look at Jacksonville, a lot of people have talked about the Bears with Darnold. A lot of people have linked Darnold to the Miami Dolphins.
I don't think if he went to the Bears, he'd have success. I think the Dolphins are a little bit of a long shot as well. You know, Urban is a huge question mark, in my opinion. I don't think that we can assume that Urban Meyer is going to have massive success at the NFL level. I think we need to see what the team feel is, you know.
I don't know. He's made some pretty successful quarterbacks. I mean, in college, now in college, if you look at it, Alex Smith was fantastic.
Yeah.
But if you look at Tim Tebow at Florida, if you look at all of the quarterbacks he had at Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of those guys haven't gone on to do much in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, Alex, obviously.
Urban, clearly, I'm not saying that Urban's not talented or he can't develop talent. He can develop talent. What I'm saying is that he needs to be put in the absolute best position to have success this year. And bringing in, trading for a quarterback project, I'm not so sure that that's like the best, most ideal thing to do.
But I don't know that Darnold is that much of a project. Mm-hmm. I think Sam Darnold is a guy who just needs a change of scenery and a fresh voice.
Yeah.
And I think if he goes to Jacksonville, he's going to have success. He's another guy that can't stay healthy.
Mm.
He's been dinged up. Now, their offensive line has been trash. They haven't been able to run the ball. The Le'Veon Bell situation was terrible.
By the way, Le'Veon hasn't seen any time.
And not in Kansas City.
Like, he hasn't seen
any
time.
And he's also been injured.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think there's a lot of interesting situations. Carson Wentz does not interest me at all as a Chicago Bear fan. Carson Wentz doesn't interest me even a little bit. He just doesn't. And I'm telling you, the Texans have to trade Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but I don't think they will. And I do think they'll keep him after the draft. And I do think it's going to be a drama-filled long season for Deshaun. And I think Deshaun has massive value and will continue to have massive value. Even if let's go crazy with it and say he has to sit out the whole season. Which I don't think will happen, but let's say it did happen. I still think he'd have huge value.
At some point, they're going to have to trade him.
Yeah.
I don't view what Deshaun Watson is doing any differently than what happens in baseball, or the Rockies wound up trading Nolan Arenado.
It's the James Harden situation,
right?
Dude. It's the same thing.
The The Rockets wound up trading James Harden. Yeah. The Rockies wound up trading Nolan Arenado. The Houston Texans are going to end up trading Deshaun Watson. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no question about that. And I just think you get to a point where you realize as a franchise, the drama and the questions that hang over you all season long are just too much.
Yep.
And you have to at some point move on.
The media attention, the discontent in the locker room, all that.
It's why, like, look at the Arizona Cardinals. One thing we didn't talk about in the Super Bowl is the Arizona Cardinals. When you have a crappy general manager like Drunky the Clown running your franchise,
yeah,
and you fire the entire coaching staff who now go on to Tampa and win a Super Bowl, whose fault is it? Yours or theirs? Right? Like, at some point, you have to realize that what's in place is not working. And by the way, I think the Arizona Cardinals were a disappointment this year.
Yeah.
What they're doing with Steve Keim is not working.
Yeah,
the Dolphins are doing with Tua was a mistake. It didn't work.
But the difference is that in Miami, they made a choice and they went away from Tua and they had a nice season because of it. So in Miami, they're willing to make those decisions. But in places like Chicago, Phoenix, you know, any of these mediocre ass teams that, you know, want to sell you a package about how they've done some great things and they were one kick away from the Super Bowl, or Kyler's going to come in and take them to the postseason, they wind up being 8-8. They wind up being an average ass team that gets to the wild card round and says, see you later.
But do you realize how many quarterbacks the Bears have missed on? And I don't mean guys that have played for them.
You're talking about in the draft.
Yeah, I don't mean Trubisky, which is a huge miss.
Who have they missed on? Because I haven't done a lot of research on that portion.
Who are the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now? Patrick Mahomes, they missed on him. Mm. Deshaun Watson, they missed on him. All these guys that they had opportunities to draft, they missed on him. To trade up and get Mitch Trubisky. If you look at their history, and if you look at just specifically the last 4 or 5 years,
yeah,
how many guys have they missed on?
Yeah.
They've never... In the history of this franchise, the Chicago Bears, they've never had a franchise quarterback. Jay Cutler was probably as close as it got, and he was not real close to it.
Mm-hmm.
They've never had a franchise quarterback.
They've had a lot of guys who they tried to sell as franchise guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and a lot of Bears fans like point to Jim McMahon. Yeah. There's no bigger fan of Jim McMahon's than me. He was not a franchise quarterback. He was Jimmy Mack. No, because he was always hurt.
Yeah.
He no longevity, and he was always hurt. Just because you win a Super Bowl doesn't make you a franchise quarterback, Trent Dilfer, with all due respect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I think the thing that's interesting about teams, bad football teams continually screw up the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Look at the Jets. Look at the Texans. Look at the Falcons are an interesting example. They went to a Super Bowl because of Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
And now they've put nothing around him, and so they're going to wind up unloading him in the next 2 years.
But again, he's another guy who, if he would have just won one, he could make a case at the Hall of Fame. He could make a case with his numbers and, like, how many yards he's thrown for and all those great things he's done and being a one-team guy. Like,
yeah.
He could make a case, but unfortunately, it's just not – I don't think that's going to happen for him. But, look, I think the NFL is a great sport, but sometimes it is just maddening as a fan because, you know, when organizations like the Bears or you know, the Cardinals, as we've documented so many times they've missed on guys they've actually selected. When you miss, it just kills you. I mean, at least in, like, you know, in the NBA, you can kind of, like, make things happen if you mess up the draft. But, like, anytime you mess up the draft in pretty much any sport, it's a little different in baseball and the NHL, but mainly in the NFL and the NBA. When you mess that up, dude, like, it just crushes you, man.
It's debilitating.
Yeah.
Sort of like not being able to log into your Google account. Make sure you hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Find it at themontyshow.com. So yesterday we're watching the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, literally, I'm going to try not to get upset and curse.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching the Super Bowl. And we have started a new side hustle that I'm going to tell you about in a minute. And I need to get access to one of my, like, 5 Gmail accounts. Right?
Right.
I have access to all of my Gmail accounts, but the one I need access to, because I only use it for one specific purpose.
Right.
So I rarely ever log into it.
Okay.
But I've never had trouble logging into it until yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So it really, really upset me when I'm trying to log into this Gmail account and you just can't log into it. And you try to, you do forget password, and then they have this stupid recapture thing that they've patented and Google has
patented
their own.
Patented technology.
It doesn't work. You can't, literally cannot read the CAPTCHA, right? Like you know those squiggly letters that you have to type into the box?
It makes it so that you can prove you're not a robot.
Right. You can't read it. It's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you fail it. They make it easier. And you still fail it. So you hit the speaker.
Yeah.
On the CAPTCHA on Google, there's a little speaker you can tap in and it'll read you what the CAPTCHA is. It doesn't work. So for 2 hours, I had no access to this email. By the way, still don't. Still do not have access to it.
Uh-huh.
You hit forgot password. They ask you what you think your password is. You put in what you think your password is, which I forgot, you a-holes. I don't know my password clearly. Right? So I put it in there and they're like, wrong password. We can't verify this is you.
That's what fucking ticks me the fuck off.
Like, okay, so is there a link where I can call or chat with somebody? No. Is there anything else I can do? No. It just says, we cannot verify that this is you're the owner of this account.
It is what it is.
So I have no access to this account. Right? Can't reset the password. Like, who's the asshole who at Google said, well, when somebody forgot their password, let's ask them what they think their password was. And if they don't get that right, screw them. We're not going to give them access to their account. Because that's essentially what happened on Google last night. Right? Like, I don't know my password, dick. I need help fixing it.
Empty. The opposite of full.
I need help fixing it. There's no way to fix it.
Nope. Can't call them.
Can you call somebody?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Can you chat with somebody?
Nope.
Can you hit the forgot password link? No. Can you get an email? No. Can you use their CAPTCHA system? No. Is there any way to recover your password? No. Is there any way to get control of that account? No. Like, what the, what am I doing? Like, so what I've realized is I can't log into the account, but on my handy trusty iPhone, I'm still getting email to that account. So I go on my iPhone and I look at the password, and guess what? Hmm. It's the password I've been putting in.
How do you know?
Because I can see it on my iPhone.
Oh, you can see it. Okay.
It's the same password I've been putting in, and they say it doesn't work. Yet I'm still getting email to that email on my phone.
Congratulations, but that's bullshit.
Fucking assholes. Like, it's just like, what do you do? Why?
It does surprise me. It does surprise me. Now, here's an added layer. So on this specific email, when you set up the email, and I don't usually do the two-step thing. I only have it on my main account. But,
yes.
Like, when you set up a Gmail account, they want you, like, they prompt you obsessively to set
up two-factor authentication.
Two-factor authentication or whatever.
Authentification?
Hello?
It's English, mother.
Yeah,
do you speak
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, not really.
Two-factor authentication.
Yeah, so when you don't do that, it's tough with Google. They will not help you.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going to happen with this email address. I'm going to try and fix it today.
Yeah.
But I need it because we've started a new, well, we've not started a new side hustle. We've expanded a side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who follow the show or know me at all, you know that I have way too many sneakers. And there are kids starving in Africa who would love to wear my sneakers. But I buy and sell a lot of sneakers. What? It's true. Tell me they wouldn't. The point is,
civilized people.
Yeah.
They'll eat each other.
They will. And my leather shoes. But the point is, did I just make a starving child joke? I think I did. Anyway,
just take a nice and easy.
Yeah,
okay,
take
just
it easy.
Relax.
Camera. The point is, we have an inordinate number of shoes. Like, I'm on my way to an entire bedroom, which my wife is now infested with her shoes.
Infested?
Like, yeah, she's an interloper. Her shoes are like interloping with my shoes. But anyway, I have an entire bedroom in my house for my shoes.
Okay.
So we buy and sell a lot of shoes. Frankly, and if you're an IRS agent, can you turn the show off for a minute? Frankly, I've done pretty well selling shoes. Like I make enough money selling shoes to buy all the shoes I have and not really spend my own money to get them. So there's been some frustration lately because we have not been winning auctions, specifically on the sneakers app. So we are going, we bought a bot last night, which is a computer program, and we're going to buy and sell shoes.
Schemers trying to control their little worlds.
And ain't that far off. So we bought a bot last night.
Right.
And we're going to kick up our shoe selling habits, Jake.
And this email was the email that was connected to the account that you used
the process.
Yeah, the process. And so
thank you.
So that's why the email thing matters so much.
Because I need the email. You have to buy some software. You have to set it up on what turns out to be a Windows device, which what kind of cretin owns a Windows device?
You and your mom are hillbillies.
Exactly, right? Thank God for Mrs. Monty, because she, first of all, when I was having my Google meltdown, she handled it very well. She closed all the windows and turned the oven on to try and sweat me out.
Hey, look
here, man. It was so hot in my house last night. But anyway, point is, she handled that really well. I'll have like a meltdown a year, usually.
Okay.
Like several times a year, right? And usually it's technology based.
Is this the dagger?
Yeah, I usually don't have technology problems. 9 days out of 10, technology works great. It's that one day where the at Google just do these things to me.
And as you can see, there's not much hope for you left.
Oh, that was so maddening. But anyway, here nor there.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly right. Gabe says, Monty, my new sneaker plug. Hopefully.
Hey.
The point is, it just was really frustrating. So the point is, I had to get some software. That was a struggle, but we figured a way around it.
Right.
And then
right.
I had to get some other information emailed to me to complete this bot setup. Couldn't do it because, yeah, the email was not accessible.
Now, the good news is, in all of this, once you get the email figured out and once we have this whole thing like built out and it's working right and everything's smooth, you're going to be seeing some stuff on the channel about the sneakers we get.
Yes.
Because we should theoretically be able to get some pretty awesome shoes.
We should theoretically stop losing every auction before it starts.
Yeah.
Theoretically. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. But
yeah.
So we'll keep you up to date on that. Our hopefully Wednesday is when all of this will kick off.
Yeah.
There's a pretty sweet kick coming out on Wednesday. We'll talk about that as the days go on. But yeah, I mean, I would love to get this going.
Yeah. I look, it's super lucrative. I mean, if it's just simply a matter of getting the shoes.
That's it.
That's literally it. I mean, once you have them, selling them is not the problem.
No.
I mean, selling them is like, some shoes are, I mean, we got, when the Kobe 5 Bruce Lee dropped, I was actually unbelievably able to actually win one pair, and that thing was sold the same day.
Yeah, like,
it's crazy.
We generally sell on StockX and eBay.
Yeah.
And on StockX, that shoe sold. The minute we posted it, it sold.
Yeah, it was gone.
Yeah.
I didn't, like, we literally, I believe, and this has happened before, too, with some of the shoes you've won, where you'll win the shoe, you can then list the shoe once you know you've won it.
Yeah.
And it's literally sold before you even have it at your house, and then you ship it.
Yeah, I sell it. I post it as soon as I get the shipping confirmation.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, especially through what's called the foot sites, Foot Locker, Foot Action, et cetera, you'll buy a shoe and they'll send you a notice that says, yeah, the shoe's canceled. You didn't get it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I think may be happening with your Air Jordan 1 low because I still haven't gotten a confirmation, shipping confirmation on that.
Typical.
But we'll see. Anyway, the point is, so that's what's going on there. I want to end the show today talking about Super Bowl parties. Because coronavirus in this country is still raging. I mean, a straight rage,
the coronavirus.
Right? Like, it is, I think we're at 463,000 deaths now.
They have the sniffles.
Yeah, just inject some light into their anus. It'll fix it.
Hydroxychloroquine.
You know. But my point is that you have these mutations.
Yeah.
And you just see that it's unbelievable. I think there's, 100 million cases around the globally?
Yeah, I mean, there's no... Listen,
2,328,000 deaths.
There's no question that this thing is deadly. There's no question that it's nothing to play with. But like yesterday on your social media, when you were flipping around or whatever, like how many parties did you see?
Oh, my goodness. A dozen at least.
Right.
And not small parties.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they actually were small. Like confined spaces with lots of freaking people.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was one girl on my social media who had at least 10 people in her kitchen, like all holding up a cupcake. Oh, look, we're so cute. Look at this cupcake. The icing's made of coronavirus and it's got that special UK mutation flavor in it.
Everybody gets a test.
Neat cupcake, sweetheart. The point is, that was probably a little condescending, but the point is
what?
A little, I don't understand how people think that that's okay. I'm amazed by it. I saw somebody this weekend that got married in, I want to say that it was Newport Beach. And they posted a wide shot of their wedding.
Yeah.
And it had to be 50 people, and I did not see a single mask.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me all those people live together, what, in a shipping container?
Well, I think...
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think the biggest struggle is, like, there are now people who have the vaccine, so they think that they can't get it because because I know for a fact a lot of people are saying, well, you know, it's just like flu shots, right? Like, when you get the flu shot, now you're not going to get the flu, and that's just not the case because of the new variants. And so, I don't know, man. It's super risky. I think the burnout factor on COVID is extremely high right now. I feel it. I know for a fact you feel it. You talk about it. And I think a lot of people are feeling it. Now, are you going to catch me going out and hanging out with 50 people? No, you're not. But, we're also extremely disciplined and we are don't have a life.
But this is why our country by far leads the world in cases and deaths. I mean, just looking at the numbers online, we have 27 million cases.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even close. India's second at 10 million.
And India has way more people than we
do. That's the problem. It's ridiculous. Like, we have so many more deaths, 474,933 deaths.
Yeah.
The next closest is Brazil at 231,000.
And again, Brazil, I don't know. I'm pretty sure they have more population than us. Could be wrong. But when you think about...
Let's look that up.
When you think about really where the rubber meets the road in this conversation is that places like, you know, Brazil or places that are not as well-to-do as our country is well-to-do, like when you don't have single-family homes, when there's five people living in one apartment and they all have jobs that they have to go out to and come back, the idea that those countries with those kind of setups who are not as well-to-do have less cases than us just tells you how brazen we are about it. We just don't care.
By the way, Brazil has about 100 million less people. We're at 328, they're at 221.
Okay, so they have less people and less cases. That would
make
sense.
Which is shocking. I mean, it's beyond my comprehension that we are so arrogant as Americans that we think that we're above this. And I think part of it is the vaccines, but such a small sliver of population has been vaccinated at this point.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can still get coronavirus.
Yeah.
I feel like people don't believe they're going to get it. And I think they don't believe that they're going to die if they do get it.
Yeah.
And yes, if you are vaccinated, the chances that I don't believe there's a reported death of coronavirus after vaccination. There are cases where people were vaccinated and got coronavirus. But what happens is, it's not that you can't get it. The effects of coronavirus are almost none when you have the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
You can still get it.
So when you say that, then, like, once you get the vaccine, will you feel more comfortable going out?
I won't.
Okay.
I won't. I just, it's going to be a while. Like, we went to the gym this weekend. Not that we had a basketball to play basketball. But
well, let's clarify.
Yeah,
that.
We didn't go
to an LA Fitness.
So right. Here in South Jordan, there is a community center.
Yeah.
And you make a reservation to play basketball.
Yeah.
And we had a reservation for 7 a.m. on Sunday. Because we don't have a basketball. Where's the basketball?
It'll be here Wednesday.
Okay. Anyway, the point is, we had a basketball that we don't have anymore. So we bought another basketball. But the community center wouldn't give us a basketball because of coronavirus. And had we been able to play basketball, we would have been the only ones in the gym.
Yeah.
Because we had made a reservation to play basketball at that time.
And I'm fine with that.
Me too.
Fine.
Yeah. I'm good with that. The point is, I'm not playing like five on fives or three on threes. I'm not playing with anybody other than you.
Yeah.
So it's just, am I scared of it? Yeah, I'm scared of getting coronavirus. I haven't, knock on wood, I haven't gotten it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get it. You know, it is... It's just really scary to me. I don't understand how people are so comfortable and so ready to go out and get it.
Because it's a belief system. They believe that it's not going to do anything to them. It's just the same way that you believe taking your vitamins is going to help you live for 100,000 years is the same way that they believe that coronavirus is not going to kill them. Now, obviously, the science says that they're an idiot, right? Like, the science says that, hey, coronavirus can't kill you. You know, so that's like, it's just, people don't believe science, I guess. I don't know.
William says, you're the guy who rails against QAnon every day, yet here you are talking about a disease that likely won't kill you if you get it. Where's the middle? Well, what do you mean it likely won't kill you if you get it? Tell that to the 400, what is it, 75,000 people?
It's right there, bro, on CNN.
Yeah, 463,000. Now, according to reports, total deaths in the U.S. are 474.
Uh-huh.
And this is from Johns Hopkins, who reports this, but 474,933 total deaths.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that's not dying? And wait, William, before you go breaking your thumbs on the screen, I know what you're going to say. Well, those are false numbers. They had a heart attack. Okay, they had coronavirus when they died. How many people, you know, like, I'm not going to argue the semantics of it. Coronavirus has killed 474,000 people who had coronavirus died.
Yep.
Whether it's directly from that or a derivative of that, I don't care. 474,000 people are dead because of coronavirus.
If it contributed to someone having a heart attack, coronavirus is the underlying reason why they died.
Yeah.
If it was the main reason that killed them, that's the reason they died. I mean, it's just, I love people who say, well, you know, coronavirus isn't why they actually died, though. Their heart failed. Okay, yeah, why'd their heart fail? Well, because coronavirus made it fail. Okay, well, they died because of coronavirus then.
Yeah.
Like, it's not hard.
And you know what the sad thing is now? Like, Pedro Gomez, the great ESPN baseball reporter, died yesterday suddenly. The first thing I thought of was, ooh, I wonder if he had coronavirus.
Yeah.
Sekou Smith last week died, coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it just is, it's this whole thing that I really, yeah, I'll stop because I'm railing now. I should stop.
Conversation's not going to end for a while.
Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Find us on YouTube and hit subscribe, themontyshow.com, M-O-N-T-Y, themontyshow.com. Back tomorrow, lots of NBA and NFL QB trades tomorrow. Hopefully we get that bot set up today so we can tell you about that tomorrow. So until tomorrow, Jake, say buy my shoes.
Buy my shoes, people.